free for all.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard, happy Wednesday morning to you. Bob, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm a little bit sore. Played some basketball last night and took a few shots to the body, but didn't feel so bad last night, but felt a little tender this morning when I woke up, but I'm all right. It's okay.
Banging around in the post?
Trying to take it to the hole. Somebody decided to not let that happen.
No easy buckets.
No easy buckets. Then there was one time we were both going after a loose ball, and it was all right. Comes with the territory, but yeah, a little sore, but other than that, I feel all right. How are you, man?
I'm all right. One of those mornings where I've woken up and my eyes are itchy, so we'll see how that goes throughout the show. It's always something. It's always something. How'd you shoot last night?
Not great. I had a few of those that looked good when they left my hand, and then they were on target but a little short, you know, kind of makes you mad because it's like, you know what you got to do there, but just didn't have it.
The physicality seems like it's hurt your jumper a little bit. You lost a little bit of your legs. Now you're short on your shot.
Maybe. I don't know.
They've got the word out about you in the streets. If you rough Bob up, it throws him off his game. We need to get in the lab and work on some physicality. Just me and you and Sam just bumping bodies.
That'd be interesting.
Just three big old boys in here just bumping bodies, just meat, just slapping up against each other because they got word out about you out in the league, Bob. You give him a little contact, you take him out of his game.
Could be true. That might be the next fan run event is like for spectators, you know, like a basketball.
We did one of those one time. Well, we did one of those one time. We did a 3-on-3 tournament one time. It didn't really go well for anybody.
Was it open to people on the outside?
No, we put it on video. Oh, okay. We streamed it like Periscope, but it didn't really go well. I think three and out, the original, or I guess not the original iteration, but the long-standing iteration of Nate Houston and Davey, they won. They beat Russell and an intern named Yash and Chance. I believe they beat them in the championship. This was back. I mean, this was whenever I had Davis and Boomer on my team. So this was even before Cody. This was a long time ago.
That just feels like a recipe for an injury.
Yeah.
Not a recipe for an injury, but I think tensions did get a little high at points. Tensions did get a little high, but I don't think anybody came through with almost an injury. Plus, Houston brought a woman's basketball.
Oh, come on.
And no one told us. So, like, on the video, you know, my shot was bad. My shot was broken. I remember we were down, like, 13-7, looking bad, couldn't buy a jumper. And then we went on, like, a 6-0 run. I had two big twos to tie it. Finally hit some shots, and then Yash, intern, drained a three in the corner, just fading away. He was one of those kids, too, that couldn't shoot either. Like, he wasn't good at basketball. Threw up a prayer in the corner, and it went in. In my face.
You got Anthony Davis.
Yeah. No, I didn't. Anthony Davis had Jamal Murray.
Did you have a press conference after? Like, oh, he just hit a shot.
Anthony Davis had Jamal Murray, one of the best playoff performers of the last 5 years, hit a shot. That's not what I had happen. I had the equivalent of Tony Allen throwing up a three in your face. Or so whoever you could think of that can't shoot. That just is out there out of necessity. Like if Tennessee had like seven guys get hurt and like a walk-on came in and hit a game-winning three. That's kind of what it was. not Anthony Davis, no. But in my press conference, I just said it was a bad shot. I don't care it went in. It's a bad shot. It's a bad shot. He got lucky.
Where'd you guys play at?
I think we played. That's a good question. I don't know.
Like indoor or outdoor?
Yeah, no, it was indoor. Bear, I think, had a connection with somebody that had a gym. I don't remember. I think we had to travel a little bit. I don't remember where it was at. It was at just some high school, though, or some elementary school. It might have been an elementary school or like a junior high. I don't remember.
That's where Nate and I crossed paths, was playing ball.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, this was not there. And wasn't good shooting. I had two athletic kids on my team that can't ball, really.
Can't or can't?
Can't.
Just.
Yeah, Boomer was a
waste of an athlete.
Yeah, I mean, Boomer was a baseball player. You know, like the type. Okay, you know, yeah. The baseball player is going to have a messed up shot, just kind of. And then the other kid was tall. He could do some things, but he wasn't ready for the moment. He was young. He wasn't ready to step up. And then I was probably at my heaviest at that time, I would say. I'm not my heaviest, but I was out of shape and hadn't been playing basketball either, so I wasn't going to act like I was any good. I wasn't balling either. Long story short, my last experience of a 3-on-3 tournament didn't go well. I don't know. Do we have enough people at the station to fill it out now?
We got bodies. I don't know about the game.
Yeah. I guess we have four shows, so we could do it.
We could call out the G.I. Jake show.
You know Jake is going to eat that one up.
Oh, yeah.
We would take any – we'd have any – I wouldn't be worried about any competition at this,
yeah,
this team.
Yeah.
We got way too much size.
You know, 2016 was a long time ago for Houston. I mean, that was 8 years ago. He was a peak athlete at that point. Davey was young. Nate was a wily veteran. You know, you had 8 years to Russell, too. Tucker's not – and not judging Tucker, but I feel like it's not going to be much better than Yosh. I don't feel like Tucker was a basketball player. Maybe I'm wrong, Tucker. If I am, I'm sorry. I don't think I disagree with what you're saying about Jake. I don't think he would talk trash about basketball.
You think he would know that he's getting his ass kicked by us?
I don't think Jake thinks he's good at basketball, but maybe.
I think Jake thinks he's good at everything.
You might be right. I just feel like basketball might be the one thing. He's like, yeah, I don't really care too much about basketball. It's kind of what I think. I don't know. Now, Jack on that team probably could hoop a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Brett, I don't know. You think Brett could play? I'd say Brett could probably shoot.
Yeah, I feel like Brett's got something in there.
Yeah, I guess when I was thinking of their team, I was thinking Marcus, but they'd probably put Marcus on the bench. Caddy would have to be the coach in this scenario.
Basketball caddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like we'd have a good mix right now. I feel like it's the most athletic show I've been on, mm-hmm, in terms of my three-man group. I feel good about us about in almost anything at this point.
We should just start working out together.
It's fun.
Every couple days.
You mean like just basketball, or are we like getting in like with a weight session too? Is that, dude, what we're talking about?
Let's do it all, man.
Yeah.
We could get
some team bonding.
Some like Mark Wahlberg stuff, like 4 a.m. right before the show.
I thought of that. It's like, hey, like if I wake up even earlier, is there any chance of going to the gym before the show? And I don't think so. I really don't think there is.
You got to be a 5 a.m. sharp guy.
I was going to say he also goes to bed like at 8 p.m. or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I've thought of that. There's a group, and it's not far from here. It's over at Fort Sanders. They play at 5:30 in the morning. But the problem is we're on video, and it wouldn't be cool for you guys. I would not want either one of you coming in and just be like sweaty and gross.
Oh no, you'd have to take
hours.
A shower. No,
yeah,
no, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you'd have to take a shower.
I don't think I'd have time to do it all, so can't happen.
Yeah, you'd have to play like a 45-minute game and shower. It wouldn't really work. Now, tough. We could, you know, maybe in the summer, you know, we could get into a little habit of a little 10:30 a.m. game, a little lunchtime game.
Yeah,
we might could find one of those.
Yeah.
Then do our work, you know, after lunch, you know, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing. Fort Sanders, you know, maybe we can at least just become sauna boys together, or steam room boys together. Three of us could sit in there and set up shop and
prep the show in the sauna.
Yeah, just do some recaps and talk some business. I mean, you know, That wouldn't be the end of the world. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, grab your towel. I'll see you in there. We're gonna
yeah, a little team bonding with the boys. Sign me up for that.
37 Club exclusive.
Here's three meaty men in the steam room.
That's pretty good.
Giving content out.
Yep.
Subscribe to our OnlyFans.
Actually, that's not a horrible idea. I mean, no.
No, it is. It is a horrible idea.
It's a horrible idea, but it'd be kind of funny, I got to say. That was my point.
I think some people would watch.
Yeah, just out of morbid curiosity, like not really interested in what we're saying.
No, not more, but I told you I lost a little weight. It's like a morbid obesity joke, Sam. Did you get it?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah, you know, I'm still waiting on my invite, though, Bob. You know, I've been asking for this invite to come play basketball for 4 months now, and I haven't gotten it, Sam. I don't know if you've gotten one. I still haven't gotten one.
Yeah, Bob and I play every weekend.
I would be pretty sad if that didn't turn out to be the case. I don't know.
I'm over here like doing this. Like, no.
I think I would make it content and laugh about it on the air and pretend like I was mad, but deep down I would actually really be mad about it.
That would be low. That'd be pretty low.
I would be pretty hurt by that.
Nah, we'll have to do that. There's no particular reason I haven't done it or asked, but
I don't want you to have to go to your captains of the basketball and be like, hey, I got a guy. But you know, just in case, you know, you ever need a body. I mean, I don't know. You guys just playing 10? Is no one rotating in?
It's a smaller court. It's a full court, but it's a smaller court, so you play fours, okay. 4-on-4.
How big's your crew? You guys got extra teams?
Or? It just varies. We've got a – you know what? I will keep it in mind because we have a a group meet thread where that's how we kind of keep track of how many guys are coming and stuff. So.
Yeah, it's vacation time coming up soon. You know, people are in and out of town, just be like, hey, I got a couple guys that can sub in.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pickup. It's not like organized beyond the group me thread. I mean, it's just you come and you play.
Now, Sam's pretty athletic. You might not want him out there running around. And I don't know, you know, if everyone in the game is a little bit older, but I play like an old man. So, like, I'll be out there, like, oh, this young guy's out here running around. No, I'm playing a slow pace. Sam be out there trying to dive and jump on people.
There's younger guys. There's, okay. Yeah, it runs the gamut. It's a pretty good group too. Pretty good guys.
Just keep it in mind.
You don't have one of those guys. I'm using the air quotes that's out there and argues every call and.
Well, every crew kind of needs one of those guys. So if you need somebody to come be one of those guys, I could take that hat that and put it on. Like I could be that guy.
I'll keep that in mind.
I like to model my game after Draymond Green, so I can come out here and do that.
Yeah, let's nix that. What was I going to say? Oh, so night before, you guys stayed up late. Who stayed up late last night?
I did not watch the Clippers. I did not watch the Clippers-Mavericks game. I see that Luka and Kyrie got it done and evened up that series. I was not watching. Sam, you were up watching the Preds.
Yeah, I was watching the Preds.
I watched a little Preds, mm-hmm. Got to say.
Evened it up.
I saw they got up 1-0 pretty early, and then that was it for me.
Yeah, they scored a little tip goal like a minute and a half in. They got up 3-0, honestly, and then
really,
yeah, ran out of them, ran away from them.
What was the final score?
4-1.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Headed back to Nashville. I hope when's game three?
Friday.
I hope we get kind of a throwback.
To the Nashville watch parties and stuff like that.
Or? Yeah, just a throwback Bridgestone performance where you know it's loud and it kind of they rediscover their soul a little bit in terms of just maybe the diehards are the only ones kind of hanging around now where the bandwagon's kind of cleared out a bit and only the diehards were left and at least in round one you get just the real fans in there. Not to fan police, but let the bandwagoners. And the people there for a social event, they can show up in the second or third round. Mm-hmm. I hope on Friday, in a 1-1 series, you get just a throwback, really loud performance because that was always kind of cool to watch. So
yeah, I think you'll get it. I think you'll get it. Canucks goalie was out yesterday. He's been out kind of leading up to the playoffs and was a question mark kind of for them leading up to this series health-wise. He was out last night, and apparently he might be out for the rest of the series. So hopefully the Preds can take advantage at home this weekend.
We'll dive into some other Tennessee sports after the break. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Are you ready to fly?
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Drink White Claw Hard Seltzer. It's the good part of spring and summer, not these allergies that keep kicking my ass. White Claw Hard Seltzer. Please drink responsibly. All right, Bob. Portal updates. Portal updates. Rumor updates. What do you got for me?
Still rumors. Things kind of shook loose. We teased it a little bit yesterday morning, and it shook loose a little bit as the day went on about our guy Igor Milicic. Sounds like he has moved his focus, and likewise with Tennessee, to Igor, that the prospect of him coming to Knoxville seems pretty likely at this point. That said, there's not a formal commitment announcement or anything like that, but it feels like both parties are feeling each other. They seem to like each other. Not entirely sure what the holdup is. It may be tied to, this is just my hunch, you know, the Cade Tyson pursuit. They're kind of similar players, just, you know, kind of a long wing shooting type player. I don't know if, you know, they're looking at it. Maybe they can't have two and one's an odd man out. The Cade Tyson thing, this is just, again, my opinion. It'd be awesome if they get him. I just feel like we're chasing, and I don't know. That's the one I don't have a feeling is going to end up in Knoxville.
Definitely think he's, you know, Tennessee is chasing. I definitely think he's the least likely of the names we've been linked to get, but that's just maybe because I think he's the best player and you're going up against the biggest competition. With North Carolina, you had some names float out too for schools for Awaka yesterday. Villanova, I guess, the new school that he is visiting. Sam, do you find yourself more interested in like Tennessee's pursuit of players or where their two current portal big men end up? Because I'm kind of over Tennessee's pursuit of their roster. Like, I think we know kind of what the names are. We've talked about them. Cade Tyson, Igor, Okparo, you know, from Ohio State, Lanier. I think, unless barring surprise, you're going to get three of those guys, and it feels like the three you're going to get are probably the three not named Cade Tyson. Like, I do think you're going to get the Ohio State / Chattanooga big man. I do think you're going to get Igor. You know, we have talked about it. It seems like that's happening. National basketball media, John Rothstein said Tennessee has emerged as the favorite. That's usually code for like, hey, they're just finishing up some paperwork. And then, yeah, everyone's been talking about Lanier for a month and a half. So to me, it's kind of the roster's kind of set. Whether or not any big surprises happen, we'll react to it then. But I think I'm more focused just on Adu and Awaka. Where are you at?
Yeah, honestly, I'm kind of right there with you. It does feel like you've got your four targets that you're looking for in the portal, and you know you're not going to get all four, but you know you've got a pretty good feeling about a couple of these kids now, and so I feel like you can kind of start to piece together what those rotations would look like, and I've already done that three or four times now. So yeah, I do think I'm kind of looking to see where those guys go, just in case it's one of those schools that, you know, will kind of piss you off a little bit, I feel like. You know, if you get like a Jonas Adu to a Kentucky or an Arkansas, that'll probably irk me more than, you know, getting an Igor Milicic. I kind of know what I'm getting with a guy like him, but I am excited to, not excited, but maybe just anticipating where guys like Awaka and Adu end up.
Yeah, I don't know what we're getting with Igor. You know, I won't go that far in terms of, you know, I got an idea of the type of player he is, but I don't know how he's going to fit here and what he's going to do. But, you know, that's something you have to wait till the summer or, you know, the fall to really see. Like I said, I think of the four names we're linked to, I feel really good about Tennessee getting three of them. If you told me, you know, Cade Tyson, the Belmont transfer, big-time wing scorer, like if you told me he decided on Tennessee, that would get me pretty excited. Like, that gets knocked to the front of the list, but the other three, I think, are just solid players that are going to be good starters / rotation players here. And like I said, they're kind of a foregone conclusion. Bob, what about you? Where's your level of interest? More with Tennessee's roster and how it fills out, or where Tennessee's two big men transfer end up.
I think I want some closure on the incoming roster, just so peace of mind's not the right word. I'm probably like most fans. I just want to start thinking about the hypotheticals of what the lineup looks like. Because if all these guys come, even if it's three of the four and it's not Cade Tyson, we go from a team that lost four starters to a rebooted roster that's pretty loaded. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, that'd be the next phase, is there's going to be a lot of mouths to feed, even if it's just Igor, Akpara, and Lanier joining D-Stone and the remaining guys that are coming back. So I think that's the case. Adu for me is, like I've said before, Adu for whatever reason is dead to me, and maybe a contributor to that was kind of how the season ended with him too. I wish him well, but I'm not too concerned about where he ends up. Maybe I'll feel differently if it is Kentucky or Arkansas or something like that. But Tobe, I had not heard about Villanova. That's an interesting one. That one I'm interested in just because there's been so much reported back and forth. Maybe there really wasn't as much, but the fact that he was out, then maybe in, and then saw him in Phoenix, and, you know, he's just kind of a man of mystery right now.
Yeah, the Villanova one for Awaka makes a lot of sense. Like, that's one you don't feel like they'd necessarily be breaking the bank for, but, like, hey, that's a proud program, probably a program that wants to get back to winning, that wants some culture guys. Seems hard-nosed, seems like his type of school. Closer to home, I think that would be a good destination. I don't know if that means the Arizona trip didn't go well, the Arizona visit didn't go well, you know, or if he's just completely playing the field. I don't know. You guys keep mentioning Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas would do anything for me with Jonas. I think Alabama would. Those are the only two schools in the SEC that would bother me, really, at this point that he's linked to.
Yeah,
is just Kentucky or Alabama. If he goes to Arkansas, I get it. Whatever. Go for it. But those other two would sting.
Now, and the other thing that came up yesterday, and it almost, as a fan, it was almost like off-putting. As much as I'm excited to see what the roster is going to look like, two more names emerged yesterday that just kind of came out of nowhere. This Elijah Hawkins kid, who's a point guard transferring out of Minnesota in the Big Ten. And legitimate point guard. He's good. You know, averaged about almost 10 points a game, 7.5 assists a game. So, you know, if you're thinking about, because it's one thing we really haven't talked much about is who backs up Zakai. I guess that's something to think about. Guy's been playing at a hot, you know, relatively high level, Power 5 conference. And then this other kid, Tucker Anderson from Central Arkansas. And that one, you know, just poking around, sounds like more of a project, a 6'9 kid. His mom's a former Lady Vol, so maybe that might have a tie-in here. Some of this might be kind of courtesy conversation that's going on. We just don't know. But those two names just kind of came out of nowhere yesterday.
Okay, so that Tucker Anderson kid is a freshman?
Yeah.
Who was his mom, you know?
I don't have the name in front of me, but she played on the Pat Summit, like, as I understand it, the early 90 teams.
Okay. I didn't see either one of those names yesterday.
Yeah. Actually, Russell, I was listening to his show. That's where I first started hearing it and then started kicking it around and talked with a couple contacts. And they're like, yeah, they're in the conversation, but it's weird that it just kind of came up now.
Well, Tennessee has some scholarships.
Yeah.
Tennessee has some scholarships to give out. So I'm okay if you take a project. I'm okay if you take a backup point guard. I don't know why this Elijah Hawkins guy would want to transfer and be a backup point guard, but maybe just wants to play high-level competitive basketball.
Back to Tucker. His mom is Sheila Frost Anderson.
Okay.
Again, played for some of the NCAA title teams under Pat.
Before my time, not a name I really...
Yeah, nor I.
...really know. I was watching the transfer portal yesterday, and one of my favorite stories came out of football. I love this from the Kyle Ford, who started at USC, transferred to UCLA, and then announced he's going back to USC, and then his announcement was like, My bad, Joel. I was tripping. My fault. I was tripping. Hashtag committed. To which I found to be very funny. As Graphic just said, I'm back. Like, my bad, guys. Yeah, I maybe didn't appreciate what I had at USC. You know, I went to UCLA, and boy, was that not fun. Can I come back? I'm sorry. I was tripping. And I've decided the transfer portal is actually good.
That was your takeaway from
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the transfer portal is actually good. It's funny.
If you didn't have that quote, would it be as good?
I don't know, but I have the quote now, and I wish more players take this path. Like when Tyler Barron, he's linked now back in the portal. They had talked about, hey, those Louisville guys are leaving, and they pushed back, but now the Louisville guys may be leaving again. Like if Tyler Barron was like, hey, can I come back to Knoxville? I was tripping. More likely to let him come back. My bad, y'all. You know I was just chasing a bag. I just wanted some money.
Hug it out. Let's get back together. I'm surprised now, you know, I saw that last night too, and I'm surprised more of that doesn't happen between those two schools. I mean, because it's kind of rare. There's, you know, two major colleges in the same town. And, I think there's a USC for basketball. I think there's a USC kid that transferred out to go to UCLA once Enfield left. And, I started thinking about it. It's like, God, I guess that's easy enough. It's not like you're really uprooting or anything. You can just kind of bounce back and forth in this day and age between those two schools and just say, yeah, man, sorry, my bad. I was tripping.
You know, I'm a kid. I'm indecisive. I don't know. I had a girlfriend at UCLA. What do you want from me? They're giving me more money. Is he any good? I don't even know if he's any good. I don't know if he's any good.
Can't be. You can't transfer like that and be good.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's that good. 2001, 252 yards. 2022, 365 yards. Yeah. Last year, I guess that went from 365 down to 236. Yeah, doesn't seem like he's very good. Corona, California. So he's just a California guy.
Corona?
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Inland Empire. That's almost in the desert.
So not close to L.A.?
It's L.A. Oh, it's all part of L.A. You know what I mean? It's all considered that, but it's, you know, it's literally an hour outside of L.A.
Gotcha. Yeah. As these guys keep transferring back and forth to rivals, you know, have a little personality when you do it, I guess. But maybe he's not allowed to because he's not very good and he's just trying to get a fifth year of college and who cares. I do think that, you know, I don't know if the NCAA could put – anything back in the tube, any of the toothpaste back in the tube. But I will say that, like, my current portal take is that the conferences were probably right when they were like, hey, no transferring inside of your conference. That probably was a pretty good, like, safeguard. I know we got mad about it when we had a couple guys trying to come. Who was the center from Alabama that tried to come, that came to Tennessee as a grad transfer? Brandon, recently? Yeah, was it Brandon something? Played center, came from Alabama. I want to say like maybe Pruitt's first year or so.
Oh, I don't know, man.
And then you had, you know, the Mays brother.
Yeah.
You had him come up from Georgia and you had to kind of, you know, litigate that. Is it Brandon? Not Brandon Warren. I know that's the tight end that Tennessee was in the mix for like way back in the day from – like Florida State that transferred.
Alcoa kid.
Yeah, like that's who I want to keep saying, but I know that's not right. Brandon Stewart's another guy. I know it's not him. I can't think of who the center was. But I do think – I think he got to go because it was a grad transfer. I was like, hey, we got different rules for him, so they didn't get to fight as much. But I do think that was a pretty good safeguard on some of this stuff. If you're trying to work on some guidelines, maybe inside the same conference isn't a bad place to really start. Does feel a little gross when that happens.
It does. Well, Tennessee football's got that Alabama tight end, the transfer. Is it Kitzelman or?
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. He's like our fourth tight end.
I don't know if he is. The reports I saw said that he was actually like your best tight end during fall, like during spring camp.
Really?
Yeah, that like, hey, like Holden Stays, the Notre Dame transfer, hasn't really like impressed people, and that the Alabama kid. Maybe there's something there that they didn't really think of. Now when I Google Alabama center Tennessee, it brings up the Dwayne Brown.
Yeah, the kid that just committed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't find it either.
Yeah. Never mind. It wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't that big of a deal. Brandon Kennedy.
Okay.
Brandon Kennedy, I found it. I knew it was a Brandon. Not Stewart. Wasn't Brandon Stewart. Not Miller. Not Brandon Miller. Kennedy. 2018. So yeah, Pruitt's. It's weird that some of the things you retain. Why do I care about that? Why is that still in my brain? Anyways, I got no other thoughts on Tennessee's current setup. Do you, Bob?
No, not in particular. Just, okay. We'll see if we hear any more. Hopefully, we keep saying that each day. Little tidbits hopefully will become real here.
I am kind of tired of waiting. I am tired of being on Igor watch. I am tired of being on these watches. Like I said, just kind of shrug me when something happens. Give me a good shake. Wake me up when something happens.
Maybe you give Barnes the noon ultimatum.
Nah.
One of these days.
Nah, me and Barnes are solid. Friend of the program. I consider him a close personal friend now. And, you know, Elite Eight, SEC Championship. No, Barnes can take his time, do whatever he wants. It's his roster. He's doing a good job of filling him out. You know, I had some problems with some of the style of play, you know, years ago, but those are alleviated too. Me and Barnes are solid. We're friends, and he's a winner.
I do want to get, I hope to get G-Reg on maybe after all the dust settles.
You know, I love G-Reg, but I aim for the top. Just call Rick. Hey, Rick, come on.
I think he might be done once that thing happens.
Yeah, the grind don't stop for G-Reg.
Yeah.
Surprised he hasn't just called in on a new phone. He might not have the new call-in number.
I mean, I could picture bringing it up with Barnes and him saying, man, talk to Polinsky. He's the evaluator, man.
Don't bother me. But, yeah, whenever we get the roster set, you kind of having an idea of what we have. But I don't even know if the team will know what they have. That's the crazy part about this. When you're rebuilding your roster and putting your team together, I don't know if you know how the pieces fit. Like, I'd imagine that after the dust settled last year and you had Gainey and Kinect come in, you didn't know what your team was going to look like. You didn't know you were going to build everything around Dalton Kinect, that he was going to be the son of your universe and everything was just going to kind of feed off of it. You wouldn't know that.
Let's talk about that for a second. And, Sam, I remember you, was it maybe Charlie that brought it up. I mean, when Kinect committed, how did you all feel? I was kind of like, oh, okay, interesting. I mean, I didn't feel like, man, we got lightning in a bottle. I'd be surprised if hardly anybody felt that way.
Yeah, I kind of thought we had like a your number one score, but I didn't think it was like, you know, 20, 25, 35, sometimes 40 points a game type guy. Like, I thought it was, you know, maybe a consistent 15 a night guy that you could go to in some situations, but wasn't going to be like the best player in the country by any means. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that you construct these rosters probably at this time and you still have no idea kind of like which guy is going to be the one to step up at times.
It is nice checking social media and having four people with the Brandon Kennedy stuff. I still had to go through the process of Googling it and finding it, but I'm good at keyword searching. But I found it, but all I do is open my phone, and people had found it there for you. But as far as Kinect goes, yeah, like, I don't think there's no way anybody knew. Like, yeah. You know, Sam, you've talked about you guys being excited about getting him, and I'll buy that you guys thought, hey, this guy could play, could add some outside shooting. But like you said, maybe just a floor stretcher that can score, you know, at times 15 points a game, not be the entire focus of the program. Like, no one knew that. So, like, yeah. You know, with all due respect to our boy G-Reg, but when the dust settles, he might not know what they have for next year until they actually get into summer practice and maybe do a little trip somewhere and actually start playing games.
Yeah, and admittedly, I mean, I think about last year, this was probably the first really legitimate transfer portal guy that came in that's I was kind of like, oh, we'll wait and see, just because we haven't had good luck. And in a way, it leads me now to, with the guys coming in now, are the expectations a little unrealistic? Because everybody's, first of all, nobody's going to be Dalton Kinect, but there is a lot of, you know, hey man, I love D-Stone, I think he can bring all these guys, they average double figures, they can all bring that. And it's like, that's a lot to ask, I think.
Yeah, but you hope it just breeds competition. Like, yeah. You hope that that's the best part of the transfer portal. I know everyone You know, Eli Drinkwitz yesterday went on his soapbox despite getting, I think, 10 of his 22 starters from the transfer portal, went on a tirade about the transfer portal and guys leaving and you know, running away from their problems. And I think that that's kind of the perception of the transfer portal is guys running away from competition. But, like, in reality, man, like, you're signing up for competition too. Like, some of these guys aren't running away from competition. Like, Dalton Kinnett came from Northern Colorado and signed up to come to a program where he was going to have to earn everything and, like, actually, like, step up in competition. Like,
right.
Darlin Stone-Dubar, like, could have stayed at Hofstra and scored 20 points a game and done his thing there, but he's, like, stepping up in competition. Like, when you're bringing in four or five transfers, and I think Tennessee is going to be at the point where they're bringing in four or five transfers, like, you hope that just leads to competition everywhere. Competition for these transfers coming in, having to earn things, and competition for your current roster that has to fight for their spots. That, like, hey, sorry, Cam Carr. Sorry, you know, Phillips. Sorry, you know, anybody else that's left over on that roster. Like, you thought maybe you're in line for more minutes, but sorry, you got to earn it this summer.
Sorry, Gainey. Honestly.
Yeah, sorry, Gainey. Like, yeah, like, everything's back up. Like, the only people I feel like are solidified is really – Zakai. I would say Meshach's going to have to fight for his minutes, too. Like, Zakai's the only one on this roster that's like, hey, you're locked in as your starter. You're going to get your 34 minutes a game. You're the team leader. Everyone else, man, you're going to have to compete. So I know the perception of the transfer portal is like no competition, people running. But I also think there's a flip side to that where, especially in basketball at these levels, like, you're signing up for, you know, dogfights just for minutes.
One blast from the past, and I only saw this because I follow on X, I follow Indiana State basketball, Indiana State University basketball, and they did a post on Tyreek Key.
The hell is he doing?
He's playing in Belgium, averaging 19 a game. It's good for him, man. I mean, I was just like, oh my God. I still have kind of that's like a trigger for me. That was hard to watch that year with him. But yeah, he's apparently balling out in Belgium.
Making some money. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. All right. That's all I got on Tennessee basketball for the time being. We'll keep you updated on what we hear as Knoxville turns days of our basketball lives. We haven't really worked on a name, a good name there yet, Bob.
You got that music yet, Sam?
Let's go to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
When it's past high noon,
it just dawned on me, life is as fleeting as a passing dawn.
During the break, Bob revealed that his wife enjoys the bit of Sam not ever having us music. And warning Sam, warning Bob, you can't make that Sam's personality. You can't start rewarding people for doing bad stuff. You got to be careful. There is a such thing as people do get classically trained. The Pavlov's dog, the positive reinforcement, the negative reinforcement. If all of a sudden you start looking at Sam's shortcomings and laziness of not putting in any intro music, month four, all of a sudden he's going to start thinking it's funny. And we can't have that happen, Bob. So respectfully, tell your wife she has to start demanding more of Sam. I think she's still looking at him as a young kid and finds it funny, but we need him to step it up.
She's a big Sam fan. She's
See? For what reason? He just comes here and doesn't do what we ask him to, says a couple things in the mic.
See, you're propagating the bit right there.
No, I'm railing against the bit. Why are people fans of Sam? He comes in here, he'll giggle every now and then, he'll mess up traffic, he'll play the same bumpers 9 days in a row. Everyone loves Sam. I don't get it. Meanwhile, I'm over here working my ass off to get us in and out of these topics, and no one's ever like, hey, fan of John. No, it's always Sam. Sam, Sam, Sam. And I don't get it.
Good job, John.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Looking on X right now, I'd like to hear more from Sam. All of a sudden, Sam turns into like this media star as a result of all this.
You know, I was telling you, you got to be careful. That's what I did with Cody. I'm not going to make the same mistake. I ruined one coworker that had potential. I'm not going to let you get ruined too, Sam.
Okay.
Cody used to be a super serious journalist until all of a sudden he made a couple mistakes and people thought it was funny, and then all of a sudden you start getting rewarded for incompetence. It becomes your personality, and every mistake you have, you just get to make a you get to just make it a bit. I'm not gonna let that happen to you. I got higher expectations.
I think you you probably helped elevate Marcus, though, didn't you?
Same way, same thing. Marcus, I let him be a bit in terms of him just being the, well, actually, God, you see what the monster I've created? Because I do this whole thing.
Maybe you're the one creating the monsters with the producers, John.
I'm very talented. It's true. I'm very talented, and, you know, my narcissistic tendencies and the way I can kind of rant on a drop of a dime, it does put you in position where I'm the bad guy and you're the good guy. Mm-hmm. So, like, Marcus constantly interrupted me and Cody with the, well, actually, or trying to debate, and then me yelling. And then us, yeah, and then us yelling at Marcus and him always having to my defense it out. Yeah, that was funny, but now look at what it created. Listen to the G.I. Jake show and ask Jake and ask Brett and Jack if they enjoy the creation of Marcus.
You're basically like creating Frankenstein. You're just the one over here that's...
Well, first of all, Frankenstein was the doctor. I would be Frankenstein in this scenario, Sam.
Sure, sure, you can be Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, you would be the monster in this scenario.
Yeah.
Frankenstein's the actual scientist. Just want to clear that up.
But you're still the one doing the dirty deeds over here.
And you know, maybe I'm doing it right now. You never know. Maybe I'm pushing it even further now. You'll never know. Am I actually angry or is it all a bit? Who knows? A lot of times I'm actually angry. A lot of times it's actually just a lot of rage inside of me, to be honest. Sometimes there's a wink wink to it, but sometimes it's just a lot. Most of the time it's just a lot of anger from me, typically. Marcus is probably my most dangerous creation, though.
Easily.
I think with Cody, it just tapped into who he probably actually really was.
Mm-hmm.
With Marcus, I think maybe he was at the point where he was trying to, I don't want to say struggling, but I mean, he was newer to the radio and maybe trying to find his way, find his lane. And now he's this ultimate contrarian guy.
He's got his own segment on that show.
Mark the Tape, the most controversial segment in fan run radio. I don't know if you've heard
the
intro. I don't know what makes it so controversial. I think at first it was just the controversy was Jake was making Marcus do it and Marcus didn't want to do it. I feel like it's maybe what the controversy was, but it seems like they've settled in. But whenever Marcus is doing his thing, I'm like, this is my fault. I created him. I helped create this persona for him, and he's leaned into it, and now – you know, I have to hear him through the wall as he just gets them rolled up and riled up.
You could shepherd him back into a different role.
You know, I'm excited to see what he's trying to put something together for Thursday night. I don't know if you've been invited to that. I kind of respectfully said, hey, I don't know how late I'll be here. Plus, like, we have to talk about it first thing in the morning, so I don't want to give a lot of my takes. But I was like, hey, I'll swing by. He's wanting to do a draft, like live draft coverage, like a live draft hangout. Yeah.
I told him I would call in.
Okay. I live like 5 minutes away.
Yeah,
so
it's a little harder for me to come out here at night.
Yeah, no, I told him I might swing by around the Titans pick, you know, around pick. You know, I might just watch the whole first 10 picks here, but, you know, just only be on the air doing stuff around the Titans pick.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's wanting to do like an app only. Maybe this is what we, you know, get our YouTube video like launched with, or YouTube channel launched with. Maybe we do a live stream there on YouTube as we kind of try to start dabbling into that area. But yeah, Marcus is trying to take some leadership here and actually put it together, and you know, I gotta say, he's been really annoying with it. I've heard him give the same pitch to like five people in a row, like he's telling me in Houston, then he goes and tells Ryan the same thing, he's talking to you, he's just, you know, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna watch the draft, and you know, if you like a certain team, you call in. He gives everybody the same pitch. I'm like, we get it, you hang out, you watch the draft, you talk about it.
I feel like the one part of this that Marcus maybe didn't think through is that most of us are just Titans fans.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, Bob can call in for the Colts pick, thankfully.
He texted Rick Butler to see if he wanted to call in for the Cowboys, but he said he was busy. I was like, yeah. And that checks out. No one wants to call in.
Not even sure what time that is, but.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell him. I was like, look, man, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I was like, but just be forewarned. The first round of the draft takes about 3.5 hours. And then meanwhile, intern Jack, they're asking him. He's like, when's the draft? What are they doing the first night? Is they just do one round? And I'm like, Jack, like, you don't know what the hell like is going on in the NFL. But then I put up this TikTok video of Sam and Jack, and it just really pulled the curtain back. that maybe these boys just don't watch the NFL, Bob. You know, I had higher hopes for you, Sam.
That was a bad performance. That was a bad performance.
Honestly, I felt bad because I put up a TikTok. I put up on Twitter, too. So maybe you've seen the video of our Tuesday Top 10 where we are, you know, doing basically PK shootouts with lists. And I call it a Top 10, but that's just kind of alliteration. I might have to change it to like a Tuesday Top 20. I don't know. But yesterday the topic was, you know, first round NFL draft picks or number one overall NFL draft picks of the last 20 years. And it was intern Jack, who's somehow the two-time defending champion in that game, going up against Sam. And I'm like, okay, Sam's an NFL guy. He loves the NFL. He loves the draft. Here he goes. And they go back and forth. And the first, like, you know, four picks, they're nailing them. He pulls Trayvon Walker. And I'm like, okay, I'd kind of forgot about Trayvon Walker. Good job by you, Sam. And then they get there, and next thing I know, Jack's guessing Derrick Henry and Johnny Manziel. And I'm like, he guesses Tua, Derrick Henry, and Johnny Manziel for his last three picks.
Not to drag Jack through the mud. But
no, drag him. He deserves it.
But, I mean, when I was, you know, we got there with – he took Bryce Young first. I went Trayvon Walker. I was trying to get chronologically in my head.
And then bad strategy for the PK shootout.
Sure.
By the way, you want if you got a good pull, you want to save that one for the end.
Yeah, but then when I heard Johnny Manziel and Derrick Henry, my brain just turned upside down. Like nothing, it just shut off. Nothing was going into my head. I completely lost.
You started playing.
I started thinking about second round picks, basically.
I hope it lit a fire under your ass, because I hope you're sitting there thinking, man, I can't lose to this guy.
It did.
It's like in Kingpin. I maybe reference Kingpin more than anybody, but when Big Earn McCracken and Bill Murray at the end is like, yeah, there was pressure. I couldn't lose to a guy with a hook for a hand. I had to beat him in bowling. Look at him. That's how you were doing yesterday. You had Jack sitting on the couch with a hook for a hand, and you know what, for brains, as he's like, Tua? No, I know it's not Tua. Derrick Henry? You thought Derrick Henry was the number one overall pick, Jack?
I had a lot of my friends text me and be like, dude, that was – terrible. Like, what are you doing?
Bruh, this was sad.
You kind of played to the level of your competition. Yeah. What started happening. Yeah.
Pitiful performance. The show should be ashamed. You're right, Clarence. The show should be ashamed. I am ashamed to be associated with Sam.
I'm pretty ashamed, honestly, myself.
Man, this is sad. Jesus Christ, this was embarrassing. Those are just some of the comments on the TikTok. To which I hope it's lit a fire under you, Sam. We talk about these kids, the transfer portal, and competition. You know, I hope it lights a fire under you to just become a list champion.
I tweeted it yesterday. I tweeted it out yesterday.
So really,
I took accountability.
You need to come into this draft get together with Marcus and just dominate. Speaking of which, Marcus, not that I would go, but Marcus didn't check in with me at all. Says a lot.
Maybe he knows that you wouldn't be a part of it. Although every time I pop on Twitter, I see that you're hanging out in a Spaces. So like, I do feel like you're a content guy. Like, I feel like you consume and you're all about them. I see you over on the West Coast. I see you here locally. Just, you're a Spaces guy.
I guess.
So maybe if Marcus would ask, you would hop on. It seems like you would join.
Well, maybe
if it's on Spaces.
If it was on Spaces, yeah, maybe.
Call on the phone.
Yeah.
You can phone in. But yeah, I say all that to say, like, tomorrow we're going to experiment with some off-the-air content. Not necessarily full-fledged voluntary reaction, but that type of vibe, a hangout. Marcus is leading the charge there. So if you want some NFL draft coverage and you want to talk about your team's picks and hang out, make plans to do that. I think they're going live just at 8 o'clock after overtime concludes. I know some of the overtime guys are going to hang around at the beginning. I plan on being here to watch, like I said, the first 10 picks or so.
The overtime guys will be a good fit for that type of thing, too.
I guess so. You know, I hope so. I don't know what – when you say a type of fit, I don't know how Marcus is going to handle it. Like, I keep telling him, like, hey, you're overproducing it.
Is there going to be, like, cosplayers?
You know, he definitely seems like a cosplayer. You could see him down. Have you ever seen the movie Role Models? Like, you know, they're in there fighting and doing that whole thing, and they're dressed up like warriors and kings and stuff. I could see Marcus down there at the medieval cosplay for sure.
Well, then I'm in.
That's all it took. Now Bob is in. Yeah, like, I could see Marcus doing that. But, like, I'm like, Marcus, just make it like a casual hangout where you talk some ball. Don't start stressing, lining up all this stuff. Just hang out. It'll be fun.
He's recreating the draft room.
He's trying to.
Like a whole different – his idea of a war room, again, might be medieval, you know, people with
– It's true.
night costumes on.
No, he was talking about we're going to give our letter grades and our instant analysis. I'm like, okay, I guess. Just hang out and laugh at some picks.
That's what he should call it, the fan run war room.
Not a bad, it could be a new, we'll fire it back up for the NBA. In a couple, we missed our chance with the WNBA draft. We should have been there for that. Draft room, the draft war room is a pretty good idea. So, yeah, make plans to do that tomorrow. And we'll probably try streaming on YouTube and put it up podcast form and everything. But Marcus is taking the ball there. So that's the new evolution of Marcus. We'll see how it goes. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with some headlines from yesterday. We'll talk some NFL draft. We'll talk some NBA playoffs. Still got some stuff to talk about. Stick with us.